of the living God, so gracious, so powerful for you and me. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm 67, and if you will hold that place for just a minute, we'll read it momentarily. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our God, you alone are great, and you alone are good. You are the source of all of life and wisdom and righteousness and love. We praise you, eternal God, for who you are and for meeting with us at this time. Father, your servant is weak, and you have lavished me and my friends here with such love in Jesus Christ to the saving of our souls. Now, Lord, lavish us with Christ. Pull out our sin and hand us your Son. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, seal your truth to our hearts so that we might live in service to you and in obedience to our God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, the last time I was with you was on January 1st. It was right at about 5 months ago, and I preached on the Aaronic benediction found in Numbers chapter 6. And I remember that we were rejoicing together that the benediction is God's sure promise of blessing in Jesus Christ to every single child of God who receives it in faith. It's God's promise of his sure smile upon us in his Son, pronounced through his ordained servant, and we need that assurance, all of us do, on a regular basis here, for example, at Covenant Family Church, because we still battle daily with personal sin and we can get discouraged. We need one another and we need God's voice and presence with us to lift us up and to help us persevere. The benediction reminds us that in Jesus Christ we belong to God eternally, and he will not let us go, nor will his purposes, his good purposes for our lives, be thwarted. Well, this morning, I would like us to look at Psalm 67, where the psalmist, who is intimately acquainted with the Aaronic benediction, summarizes the benediction and uses it as an amazing part of a corporate prayer. So whereas the benediction is God speaking through his minister to his people for the sake of their assurance, this psalm is to be sung by all of God's people for the sake of the nations, for the sake of the lost throughout the world, so that they too might come to know the saving power of God in Jesus Christ and give glory to God and give praise to God. But this psalm is not solely just a prayer for the lost to be saved. It is that. But rather, it is also a humble prayer petitioning God to make his people what they need to be and to receive from him what they need in order that the whole earth may get to know who he is in all of his righteousness and holiness and get to know his saving power personally no matter where they are on this globe, and for us beginning here in our Jerusalem. This is not a proud Jew who wrote this psalm. We often think of Jews as being very proud. This is not a proud Jew. This man understands that in and of himself, he has absolutely nothing to offer. This man, in different circumstances and in a different time, could have written John chapter 15 about the vine and the branches, where Jesus says, apart from him, you can do nothing. He understands that God alone is the source of all good, and therefore he understands that he was saved by sovereign grace alone. And he understands that God alone is qualified to build his church and give the increase. And so the cry of his heart is dependence upon God. Be gracious to us. Be gracious to your people, Lord. Smile upon us. Bless us so that we might be a blessing to others. His large heart for the nations during the time in which he lived is striking. We find it in other places in the Old Testament, but this is so striking, and yet he was not alone. This anonymous psalmist wrote this psalm to the choir master under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and it was most likely sung at the Feast of Ingathering. It was accompanied with stringed instruments for the choir master, for all of God's people to sing and pray corporately at the Feast of Ingathering. And that feast was a celebration of the fall harvest, which had already been gathered in. And this has significance at the end of the psalm. And so let me now read Psalm 67 as we attend once again to God's holy word. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, Selah. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. There are three main stanzas in this psalm, and the three stanzas are divided by the repeated phrase that we find in verse 3 and verse 5. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And my request is that we recite these two lines together at several key times during the message. I'm not trying to be dramatic, but I'm just thinking that it may be used by God the Spirit to help seal this to our hearts. Consider learning these two lines with me. Listen. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Together. Let the peoples praise you, O God. And then, listen, let all the peoples praise you. Together, Let all the peoples praise you. The first line begins, let the peoples. The second line, let all the peoples. Let's try them together slowly. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Very good. This morning, I want us to see from this psalm that God has a great purpose in blessing his people. The first stanza highlights God's blessing and a great harvest. The second stanza highlights God's blessing and joyful singing. Then the third stanza assures us of God's blessing. Well, God's blessing and a great harvest is found in verses 1 and 2. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that or so that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. As I mentioned, this prayer and psalm of Israel was based on God's sure promises in the Aaronic benediction. But we often pray to God for the things that he has promised, right? Don't we? And rightly so. We pray for God's kingdom to advance because he's told us that it will advance and that the gates of hell will not prevail over his church. And when we pray for that, we're expressing our hearts and we're saying, we want that too, Lord. You have given us grace to have a heart like yours. We want that too. We often pray for God to conform us to the image of his Son because he has told us in his word that he is so kindly and graciously and powerfully at work doing that. Yes, Lord, we want that. We desire that. We depend upon you, Lord, for that. That's our heart. If we are dependent upon God for every single morsel of daily bread that we eat, then we are dependent upon God for all things. Be gracious to us. Bless us. Smile upon us, and may your favor be with us. God always hears and answers the prayers of his people when they are in accordance with his will, with yes. Now the timing is in his hands. May we have the heart of the psalmist in this way. This psalm is obviously in his will. The Old Testament saints knew that God had promised that the nations would indeed be blessed through Abraham's seed. And they were crying out in prayer to him for his help and presence for that end to be used as a means. And their prayer was ultimately answered hundreds of years later in the person of Jesus Christ. Remember what the Lord had told Abraham in Genesis 12? He said, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, but not for his own personal glory. Oh no. I will bless you so that you will be a blessing for my sake, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. There's the principle. We're blessed to be a blessing. And you and I can trace that blessing, can't we, in the outworking of this promised blessing to Abraham through Isaac and Jacob and Judah and others. And we can trace that blessing and the prayer of this psalm and the prayer of God's Old Testament people touching us even today here in this corner of our world. We can trace it all the way to the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ and his humiliation, to his perfect law keeping for our poor sakes, and to his cursed death upon a cross where he bore our sin and shame and paid the full penalty, reconciling us to God and satisfying God's justice and bringing us together with a holy God in peace. That's not all. We can trace God's promised blessing here all the way to Christ's exaltation and rising from the dead and ascending up into heaven in victory for our sakes and being seated at the right hand of God. Jesus is on the throne. And he has torn down the dividing wall of hostility in his flesh by his blood. And people in every nation, including ours, are the beneficiaries. Today, we have even more light and motivation to sing this psalm, don't we? For the sake of the nations, we sing it. As we wait for Jesus to come again, we have every reason to be positive. Our prayers, therefore, must embrace the whole world, but they should begin right here at home. Each local church family, each little company God has put together graciously and sovereignly. And our prayer together and the singing of this psalm starts right here in our local assembly. This is our home. We do it in dependence upon God. Be gracious to us. Shine upon us so that our love, our gifts, our commitment, and our deeds exercised even toward one another in the ministry here will reflect your love and grace and smile. First, your lives will change here at Covenant Family Church, but that won't be the end result. Your impact will go beyond these walls in ways that you may never be able to trace. I'm talking about even in the small things that we do. The things that we sometimes don't feel like, well, that's not going to go anywhere. Yes, it will. I know that you work. You have commitment to school. Some of you have spouses and covenant children. God has called you to these primary tasks, to live for his glory in those realms. Indeed, the primary way God grows his church is through covenant children. We know what our primary task is. Don't think lightly of it. God has promises to you in that regard. But he also, does he not, take covenant families and use them for his glory to impact others for Christ and the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ? The outreach that you just had recently, for example. The Lincoln County Fair I read in your bulletin and heard in the announcements this morning coming up. Yes. All hands on deck. I've got a good friend in Georgia who was a member at our church and they've transferred to Georgia. We still stay in very close contact. That's what he said all the time. All hands on deck. The time is short. The stakes are high from the human perspective. And we're called to this. I'm reminded of my childhood mailman. He would sit on the sidewalk during his lunch hour during the summer months when we were home from school and tell a few of us children Bible stories in the summer with a focus on Christ. Sweating. As I grew older, I heard him play an accordion and sing a song that I thought was perfect for a mailman. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. Every day as I go my way, it is Christ for me. And his heart bled over into my life and into the life of my brother. I'm also reminded of my wife Laurie and her sister Becky. They were not raised in a Christian home, but their neighbors were Christians, and their neighbors went to church, and they had, and their neighbors had two extra seats for two little bitty gals that would only in their adulthood become 4'9". Laurie and Becky rode in those seats for several years, and they both came to know Christ savingly, and one by one, so did their entire family. Becky is a missionary in Asia, and my wife Laurie has been ministering at my side for 41 years. She has taught Sunday school to children for 50 years now. She cannot trace. She cannot begin to trace around the world what this has meant because of God's hand in our lives. Well, whether your car is filled or not in the coming days with someone that needs to come to church, is that your heart? Is that your heart? That's the question. Is that your prayer? How can we who have received undeserved grace in Jesus Christ hoard what we have been so freely given? How can that happen? And our prayers must embrace the whole world. And the victories of saving grace around the world are the victories of all of us to the glory of God. Your victories here are our victories in Donovan and vice versa. Recently, I watched a documentary about the work of Missionary Aviation Fellowship in Papua, Indonesia. Missionary Aviation Fellowship, by the way, flies the hops in and out of Haiti. This documentary highlighted bringing the gospel to an unreached tribe through the witness of a different tribe that had already been reached and blessed in Jesus Christ. And it was so moving because one of the leaders of the tribe smeared mud all over his torso. And he said, "This is my sin. This is my sin." And then he put on a clean shirt and he said, "This pictures the righteousness that my Savior has covered me with and credited me with." That's our victory. Is Psalm 67 your prayer of dependence this morning? Is it? May God, may God, may God, may God bless us, be gracious to us, and shine upon us so that His way may be known on earth, His saving power among every nation. When God blesses, He always has a great purpose in mind. Listen. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all. Together, Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then we see, second, in verse 4, God's blessing and joyful singing. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon earth. The nations singing for joy is the climax of this psalm. Can you hear it? Can you sense it? Can you believe it? Can you pray for it and expect it? It gloriously anticipates our own day in which we live, when a multitude of Gentiles throughout the earth acknowledge God's sovereign and righteous rule. Praise God. Blessed Old Testament saints had this wonderful worldwide hope that centered squarely on God's promise coming Messiah and the impact that would have worldwide upon Jew and Gentile. For example, the Old Testament prophet Zechariah prophesied concerning Christ, "Behold, your king is coming, your righteous king, he's coming. He is salvation. And he is bringing salvation to you. He will be humble and mounted on a donkey." Obviously, Zechariah was anticipating the triumphal entry of Christ into Jerusalem just 1 week before Christ's death and resurrection. But that's not all Zechariah was anticipating. He was anticipating the day when those from every nation would receive this king by God's grace, because he is salvation. And he was anticipating that they would then learn, in the context of God's people, to rejoice in his perfectly righteous law and rule. Because as the psalmist says, he's absolutely just in his judgments of people, and he is sovereign over the nations. And if we're not careful, we can read that too crudely. If you're absolutely just and sovereign, and you are the Savior, you are salvation itself, he will punish the wicked, but he will love in righteousness all who have been called to him and who have embraced him in saving faith. How can we not be thrilled about that? How can we hoard the Lord Jesus Christ? We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, without any hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, we who were once far off have been brought near. How? By the blood of Christ. He is our peace. And he has done this for us in his flesh. As the people of God, we encourage each other to sing for joy. We all look over this hill. Matthew, one of our elders, says we all look over the next hill. And we say, you know, when we get over that hill, things are going to get a lot easier. No, they aren't. No, they aren't. We're the church militant. We're fighting a battle, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in dark places. And so, but we fight for his glory. All hands on deck for the sovereign God who has given his Son so freely to you and to me. Sing for joy. He is ruling at the right hand of God over the nations. Jesus is on the throne. We are so blessed that certainly at times we burst into joyful singing together. And isn't it our desire for all to praise the Lord? Yes, it's our desire for all to have such gladness of heart, saved by the blood of the Lamb and bowing to God's righteous rule. How good can it get? That's gladness. That's cause for praise, because Jesus is our resting place, our King, as we battle in this life. And so sing and listen to your own heart. Let the peoples praise you, O God, together. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. God's blessing and a great harvest, God's blessing and great singing. And last, God's blessing is assured. Verses 6 and 7, the earth has yielded its increase. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. As I mentioned earlier, this psalm was probably sung at the feast of ingathering after all the harvest had been brought in, and I believe that's why the Hebrew changes to the past tense. The earth has yielded its increase, the psalmist says, by the hand and blessing of God, because God alone gives the increase. And that's what the harvest represented for the Jew. It's come in. This is not only a psalm. This is not only a prayer. It's a prophecy. And the earth yielding its increase is taken by the psalmist as a promise of future blessing from God. God, our God, shall bless us as He looks at the harvest brought in. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. May we fear Him. May we, you, me, our children, and our children's children, learn to fear God so that our lives change. And from our post, we will not be able to trace what our great God can do with growing hearts that line up with His. And oh God, take my fears from me, that I might fear You. The love and the sacrifice that comes from this place will bring God glory. Sometimes you're going to feel like it's not worth a plug nickel. But when we do, whatever we do in word or deed, whatever we do in word or deed, we're to do it to the glory of God, and He will multiply it. And the baskets of bread will just keep coming, and we won't be able to trace it wherever it goes on this globe. You are now to be a blessing for the sake of others to the glory of God, because God has blessed you. Be a blessing then, will you? For His name's sake, until all the ends of the earth fear Him. Let all the peoples praise You together. Let all the peoples praise You. Don't let me mess you up. Good job. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for the truth of this psalm that is intended for our comfort and our encouragement and to challenge us to find all of our growth and dependence in you. May your truth given to us here strengthen our assurance. And yes, oh God, by your grace and power, take us to greater heights of obedience in our homes, in our fellowship here, and in our witness to the world. May you receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.